4.243. The reality of orthogonal time, cyclic time, would make it possible for the Golden Age, the time before the fall, to return, restoring all which has been lost. There is a direct link between the hope of that return and the idea of orthogonal time. Also, there is a similar link between the possibility of that hope being fulfilled and the fact that orthogonal time exists, which it indeed does. Is not one of our present concepts or visions of that golden age perhaps our most powerful and authentic one? The vision of the Woods of Arcady, which Yeats wrote of. And was it not indeed these woods, the Isle of the Blessed, which I at last experienced as I moved deeper into the being, the heart of orthogonal time? Did I not at last see the moonlight and the pale water, the arch, the quiet and harmony and beauty of exactly that which Yeats said is gone and which we dream of still? Yet still she turns her restless head. Would it be unreasonable to speak of my first orthogonal vision, that of Urbs Roma, as the Age of Iron? And under that I found, what's next? Silver? That would be my first glimpse of the Hellenistic world, which came before linear time or beneath orthogonal, and then, at last, the absolute simplicity of what must be the Golden Age, the forests, which Euripides spoke of in the Bacchae. Will they ever come to me ever again? Each age of rotation retrograde was better, iron to silver to gold, whatever metaphor. Roma certainly was iron, no doubt, and the fish sign, which I saw, it was made of gold. If our age is an extension of Urbs Roma, Tears being a paradigm, a map of a territory which is Roma, Washington, Moscow, Berlin, one map for all, then that view of Roma was a rollback, an insight into the heart, not of an age prior to ours, but to ours itself. But then the previous age emerged beneath, while I was in the hospital, just as Nixon resigned, the same day I went into surgery and was repaired. Yet already I had glimpsed the archway leading to the quiet places of sea and moonlight. One does not build buildings out of gold. There are none. It is all too soft. It would be jewelry, etc., objects of beauty and adornment. There are no gold prisons. I did not remember my previous state, anamnesis. I was restored to that state, which means someone restored me. That is God and God's grace. He brought it back to me, or me back to it, rejoined, or gave back. The Christian Eucharist, anamnesis, deals specifically with do this in recollection of me, i.e., Jesus Christ. Note: an early reference to the Eucharist, which grows in importance throughout the exegesis. Here Dick frames the Lord's Supper as a memorial reenactment rather than a mystical rite. Later he will focus on the issue of transubstantiation. GM. End note. The event is anamnesis. The agency which causes it is adventitious and is the Savior. No man has intrinsically the capacity, by no knowledge or magic, to accomplish this restoration. In my case, I detect evident predestination. First, it was impressed on me, this anticipation of the dark-haired stranger girl at the door. I used to expect the Paraclete coming to the door at any time to render aid. From the beginning of my life, he laid down the necessary efficient causes to bring the transformation restoration about. There was always evident intent, and on his part, not mine. It took an entire lifetime to bring me to that point in 374. Step after step led me, directed me. Not the girl at the door, but that as the climax, the moment, and at the moment of extremity, of peril for me, of the very desperate where no hope existed for me of being saved in any fashion unless all these steps had already been laid down. Her appearance at the door had that effect only as mere triggering release, and because of manifold, almost infinite, preparatory steps. This was a lifetime process, not a single event. As an infant, I was given dreams and experiences, e.g., with fish, the tunny. Note. Dick explains one of these early childhood references in a February 27, 1975 letter to Claudia Bush, not included here. I knew about the fish sign, too, the Savior. I called him Toonie from a Del Monte billboard for some canned food. We had to travel under the Oakland estuary in the Alameda Tube, and I saw the tube like a can. At the end, we emerged in the sunlight, and I saw the billboard with Toonie on it. I loved old Toonie, the great fish. End note. The shark dreams, later on, the Tiberius fish teeth necklace dream, without which her appearance and that fish necklace would have done nothing. It wasn't a magic amulet, as if the power resided in its intrinsic shape or properties. I could as easily have been engrammed on a, well, whatever he chose. It's like answering the question, how does your car obtain the capacity it has to perform all that it does? With the answer, by putting in this particular key, the one with the square end, and turning it to the right for a second. The car key unlocks a gigantic, intricate mechanism, but that's all it does. It causes, so to speak, the potential vehicle, car static, to become actual car, car in motion. Whoever built the car probably also had the key in mind, anticipated its existence and use. The analogy is a good one, because by holding back the key, the car can be kept in a state of mere potentium throughout a theoretical unlimited period of lineal time. A person seeing it only in this potential mode might never guess what would happen when activated. Better yet, there is really no way just by looking at a radio to tell what it does when turned on. The simple switching from off to on is no more than bringing into existence the true function of what was only an object. What it is has been revealed to be what it does. Teleology is all important in this, its end purpose. The metasystems perhaps can best be understood by this cybernetics model, by asking, what are they for? The answer is obtained by observing the process as it unfolds. We are back to the concept of entelechy, of growth. All these are the unfoldings of living organisms, which themselves are portions of an overall organism, no doubt. A Greek might proudly say that he causes his own heart to beat and his own brain or mind to think, but it seems more likely that both are in the deepest and final sense caused by a designer of that heart and brain, who holds all in the palm of his hand. We can't see him, but we can't see gravity either. We measure it by its effects. This is the sad, sad Greek error of man over nature, man above the cosmos, controlling it. This is his hubris. He will guard in the esoteric rites and the gnosis of his mystery cult the secret fact that God lies within everyone and everything equally and steers all. Greeks and foreigners alike. The really carefully guarded secret of the priests of all the religions, which they will never voluntarily relinquish to the world, is that priests are not needed, nor what priests know or what initiates do or what the devout believe, practices and sacraments, anything. The truth is that God inhabits without limit. Wherever the real is or the actual does, he is it. Special knowledge of how to get in touch with him is that same knowledge which carries the bee home to its hive each night. Who sells that knowledge to the bee? If we have no money, if we can't read or be wise, are we abandoned? Does he abandon the lowly insects because they are virtually no more than reflex machines? Just as truth cannot really be suppressed, at least not forever, it neither can be hoarded. We are taught day and night, as all living entities are, ceaselessly. God did not begin to govern and inform the cosmos when writing and money were invented. The deeper and deeper penetration into ontological realms, experienced as dokos, fading to reveal Urbs Roma. Those were into a region prior in lineal time to Jesus, to Christianity, but not to Greek mystery religious as such. But finally, I saw the building Santa Sophia, the palm trees, which was the Levant. That word came to me, an archaic term. That last was as real as the first. What linked them? The last was not fundamentally a Greek area, but acquired by Alexander in conquest. Each, however, was seen in holy terms, viewed as if sanctified, viewed through its religion. It was as if God ranged through an axis neither of time nor space as we know it, but built out of both. Orthogonal space too? A space-time axis of being, in which resemblances linked each frame rather than being together in either time or in space, but because they rose toward God Himself and all He represents. It was an axis of holy solemnity, maybe. That worship and relatedness to God is the final axis, in which one, when entering that realm, moves from religion to religion as if they all are one. It is as if the state of grace generates, or anyhow, generates the perception of and the participation in the region of the sacred. But not just the sacred parts of each culture were retrieved. With them came the rest, everything, as in the taco stand, which served as a doorway to all Mexico. When Docos, the veil, lifts away from our external world, we see the absolute. But it is whatever God wills it to be, causes it to be, most likely thinks it into being. We think along with Him of first this and then that. So we are here, then there. Worlds are made and unmade. The absolute is absolutely plastic and manifold, and real only as He forms and reforms it. He expresses Himself directly through it and in it. The reemergence of cyclic time would be the method of restoration. It is not logically evident that hyper or orthogonal time, OT, would of necessity be cyclic. At first I thought it was retrograde. However, it does differ from lineal time in that lineal time is only unidirectional by definition. OT is two-way, or many omnidirectional. Maybe you can hop on or into it wherever you choose. I am starting from the most extraordinary premise of all, that Roma, circa 100 AD, had just been here an instant ago, here in Fullerton, 1974. Both really were present, one removed or the other superimposed, or one seen by my left brain, the other by the other. Two totally separate channels of empirical space-time information. A double exposure. Yes, very much like an accidental double exposure. I do feel that the antique images regressed. Rome to Hellenistic Greece, to Attic Greece, to Crete, which implies retrograde time. Maybe cyclic is the wrong word. Maybe orthogonal time, a specific sector, is summoned through penetrating via the printout back to the form which incises, from cluster of phenomena to archetype. That is not from lineal time to any other time. It is from time to departure and reentry. Again, Plotinus seems to grasp it best. That, and the Christian, do this in anamnesis of me. Do this and recollect. Once more, we are back there again at the timeless and eternal moment, circa 46 AD. We are really there now. Real time, genuine time, ceased after He left. After that, it's been only process time, true spinning your wheels time. Only layer after layer of meaningless dust have accrued, which is to say, the substance, the essence, is not changed since Christ left our world. Not a day will have passed between when He left and when He returns. Perhaps He simply took me where He was going, where He is. I was where? With Him. QED. But if the subjugation of us, the fall, is through the power of time, which means decay and death, then this abolishment of time, or lineal time, whatever, accomplishes what we yearn to see accomplished. Time, or lineal time, was overcome. And all the accumulations of the centuries, the flux, the accidents, the phenomenal world, all faded out, and it, that place, and those events, faded into sight. And I was totally caught up into them, both inside me and outside me. It was not a mere external spectacle like a 3D movie. I changed too, to my deepest essence. I became a person appropriate to and commensurate with my reality. And it was not because I wished it. The first intimations were of the city of cruel iron. And I felt the fear natural to a society based on force and on a slave population. It was harsh and cruel beyond anything I've ever seen. No Arcady, that. Maybe the fruit with the seed inside is the best model. No time at all is involved in that. Fruit equals phenomenal world. Seed equals the unchanging reality of the last days he was here. Is our changing world actually a sort of electron revolving in totally repetitious cycles around a nucleus? And that nucleus is the crucifixion and the resurrection. The mass of a body creates a warpage in space, so that a straight line is curved. Thus, planets' paths are warped into near circles, ellipses, around and around, that if they could think, would imagine, as Spinoza would say, that they are traveling always in straight lines. But we can see otherwise. An invisible force keeps that straight line, makes that straight line into an endless repeating circle. Ah, our linear time is exactly an analogy of the straight line of a small body near a dense star. We, as part of Earth, moving through time as the axis, do not realize that our time is being warped perpetually back onto itself in a great circle, a vast cycle, which will one day, to our surprise, like an early sailor who sailed west across our oceans and eventually, incredibly, found himself back where he began, circumnavigated our round world, which he did not understand was round. It looked and felt flat. The universe looks and feels as if it extends analogously. Einstein showed us that space is curved through the force we call gravity, so time, unrealized by us, undetected by any of our earthbound instruments, carries us inexorably in a sweep which we will not recognize. Anamnesis, until we actually see a familiar landmark. Suddenly, there it will be, ahead of us in time, will be something which we know from our historic record we left behind us in time. And this follows logically, since time and space are a nexus continuum, cannot be separated. Thus, orthogonal time, lineal in the sense that all objects move in a straight line through space, too. Cyclic, if there is enough of what equals gravity in respect to time, whatever that force would be, analog of mass. As mass affects space, warps it, curves it, bends it, what would warp, curve, bend time to bring it back, equal to our sun, our nucleus, that moment urbs Roma, circa 45 AD. We will call it the second coming, i.e., the second time around for us. And suddenly, in the twinkling of an eye, like a thief in the night, when we least anticipate it, we will be back. For me, in 374, I was back. But I'm always precog a little. Do you think soon? And then the perfect kingdom, beyond that, as our old myths from every culture recall with such yearning, to go home again, to be back once more, the day of restoration of all things, through God. I believe I saw the Platonic idea forms, and there were many of them, and he was right. What we see here are copies, not the real actual source thing. But they are active and alive. They are not static. they pulse with energy and life. It seemed to me, as I look back, that if anything, what I saw was more change, more motion, faster than the flash cutting rate, but without that fast rate recurrence. Recurrence, the eternal verities, the forms are within, an aspect of the flux, and the more flux, the more the forms come into view. Both motion and stasis are illusion and real. Both. If we think of an entelechy, or a bunch of them, there would be change, growth until completion, then frozen forever. These terms just don't stand for anything. They're just words. What I saw was not the static or unchanging versus change, but an incredibly live and potent total organism, linked together everywhere, with nothing excluded from it, controlling through an intricate system everything which was, is, and will be simultaneously, as Avicenna said.